Top Dog, Braden Soprenant, back at it for another additional high school football podcast. We are already in week five, six, so. Week five. Teams have already played six games. I think we're in week six, matter of fact, including week zero. Teams have played six games. A lot of them are playing their seventh game. I lose track at this point of the year. We're in the middle of the season. I don't really want to say dog days of the fall yet because we're not there, really there yet, just starting the fall last week, but we're starting getting the league play. That's where you start getting the rivalry games, teams that know each other all the time, evenly matched, and the ones that really put a wrinkle into rating systems at the turn of the playoffs. So it's going to be a fun couple of weeks here as we get some league races underway. Let's talk about last week. Obviously, had some close games and some games that we didn't think were going to be close. We had two teams in San Diego beat really good out-of-town squads, and then another team also beat a team from Bakersfield. San Diego owned Bakersfield this weekend with Lincoln and Carlsbad winning. Helix beats Trinity League School in Servite, which is impressive despite whatever Servite's record may be. But overall, a very interesting week last week.
I would agree. I think the most impressive one, and by the way, I guess I owe lunch to Roland Veal. He licks because I said that Servite would win that game. So he texted me. He didn't like that. So he texted me and said, we're going to beat him. And sure enough, they did. They won that game. I think the most impressive win for me was Carlsbad Liberty. Liberty is a pretty good football program. And Carlsbad went out there and handled them.
First game with their tight end looked a little bit different offensively and defensively. The transfer from Santa Fe Christian, he was on a tear against Liberty. So we'll see how they go as they finish off Avocado League play. You mentioned Helix beating Servite. Obviously a good win, the Battle of the Bagpipes, if you will. Both schools got the storied tradition of the Bagpipes leading onto the field, which is kind of cool. But they go 1-1 against Servite over the last 2 years. So hats off to Helix on that one. Tough one next time out where they got to play Mission Viejo. I don't know if that's this weekend or next weekend. I just know it's the next game on the schedule. It's a little bit of a gauntlet there for Helix before they start league play.
Is Rob Johnson still coaching there?
I don't know.
The former Buffalo Bills quarterback was a coach at Mission Viejo for several years. And his dad was the when he was coach at Mission Viejo history.
I'd have to look it up.
So, you know they have 500 kids in their football program.
That doesn't surprise me. It's a very insane. Large school.
That's insane, though. 500 kids in a football program.
A lot of large schools up in Orange County. When we talk about the difference between San Diego teams and Orange County schools, I think it's funny, a little sidetrack. It's, teams like Centennial always talk about, we're the public school that gets it done. Yeah. And then they got like 5,000, 6,000. I mean, it's like they got like more than 5,000 kids at their school. So it's like, all right, well, attendance numbers, you're kind of in the same. You're playing the same game. It's really kind of the same.
You know, that's like putting San Marcos and Mission Hills together on one campus.
Right. I mean, think about one team. San Marcos team.
How dominant would they be?
It'd be great. It'd be a great team. We've talked about that before, so we digress on that story. Couple other scores that were surprising to me. Not the result, but the way that the score was. Madison beating Granite 15-12 was surprising to me.
Yeah, let me talk about that one for a minute. So, I got a call late Friday night after the game. Defensive coordinator from Madison, Ben, and he said, Chris, or TD, they're for real. He said, they got a three-headed monster over at running back over there, and he doesn't think there's anybody that can stop in Division II.
I don't think there is either.
He even said they're going to give Helix a run for their money. So it'd be interesting. I mean, they could win. They were in the Grossmont Hills League.
That's correct.
That's going to be a first time in a long time that Helix didn't win it. So that's going to be a big game.
Well, that was kind of the conversation we had last week about Granite. It was like, are they good enough to knock down Helix? And I think we'll find out in the next couple of weeks, obviously, because they're going to go through league play. Steel Canyon and Grossmont are just not having really good seasons. I mean, they're definitely in major, major rebuild modes.
Was that a pun on Major Givens?
No, that's not a pun on Major Givens. Oh, okay. But talking with Longerbone after the game, I mean, the thing I think about Steel, I mean, last week, they're down to like 24 kids in the program. We talked about this. Everybody, there are a lot of guys six. Major Givens didn't even play in the game for a different injury. But Coach Longerbone said, give it a couple of years, they'll be back and ready to go. So I don't know if they got some kids coming through the program that are going to up it a little bit. But it's kind of weird to see Steel Canyon this down, and a Grossmont team this down. But Granite Hills, to go back to our original conversation.
Yeah, what happened to East County football?
I don't know. I mean, it's Helix and everybody else, and Helix isn't the same dominant. I mean, they're not dominating a lot of teams out there. I know they beat Servite, but It's just, it's super down. It's weird. But to go back to what I was talking about with Granite, they have two losses. They're both to D1 schools. They're to Madison, who is ranked number one in the UT poll, top three in all ranking categories,
including
Poway.
Yeah.
They lost to Poway. And both teams, they had leads on early in the game and gave up the leads late and ended up losing. So they're definitely going to be, to me, the team to beat in Division II. You know, and if Madison's sitting there going like, hey, man, they gave us everything they had and that was close. I mean, they need to, like, the final – they need to score 15 points in like 6 minutes to win that game. And they were able to do it, which is hats off to Madison on that standpoint, but even better showing at a Granite Hills. And we talked about no moral victories on this podcast, but that's a pretty good effort there from Granite. The other game, you told me off air about what this score was potentially going to be from one of the coaches. I will not say exactly what the conversation was, but Mount Carmel beat Rancho Buena Vista and beat them down. I mean, they beat them 38-7, second time in RBV history where they're a game from going 6-0, and Mount Carmel just obliterates them and ends their perfect season.
I'll drop names. The DC over there actually texted me and said, you know, they're not going to score on us. And they, I thought that
they
was pretty bold.
They basically didn't.
I mean, I'll be honest. I thought that was pretty bold. I thought, right. You know, I respected the running game, the hogs up front for RBV, and then Connor Underhill slinging that rock. You know, this has turned into somewhat of a rivalry, you know, from what I'm hearing in the streets. The kids over at Mount Carmel, they're not big fans of the whole RBV program. And so they really take pride in the fact that, you know, they're going to ruin their record. They're going to give them their first loss. And so, you know, they got up for this game. I think their defense played well. I'm not sure how RBV scored. I think it might have been on special teams. I didn't see the highlights from that game. But
even if they only gave up seven, you basically shut the team out. I mean, he basically backed it up, right?
I was very surprised.
Right. I'm surprised, too.
I owe the D.C., Deontay Lee over there at Mount Carmel, lunch, so I'm going to be kind of full this week because I owe two guys lunch.
You owe a lot of guys lunch, man.
No, man.
You should just have one lunch party and invite all the coaches you owe lunch to.
No.
Just knock it out one time.
That would be nice, but no.
No, I know you, Chris. You want to go out. You want to have a little bit of, hey, let's go up to Peñasquito's, my spot here. I'm going to have some food there. Right. Then I got my spot out in La Mesa I want to go to. You just want to branch out, and it's an excuse to get all your food all around town. San Diego's got a lot of good food to offer.
But Deontay Lee, you know, he's a great coach. Coach's defense, he's probably one of the better, you know, I've said this in the past, he's probably one of the better defensive coordinators in San Diego County, probably in the top five in my opinion, and he really put together a game plan to shut down both the running game and the passing game for an RBV team that's been on a roll.
Now, these two teams obviously renewed their old rivalry last year when they brought up the game again, old Valley League team, or Palomar League, I think at the time, way back in the day when Dave Roberts was playing for Rancho Buena Vista. I went through it. It's funny because I put the article together when we do the whole breakdown, and I did the research on Partleton Sports. I gave them a shout on the air yesterday. Partleton Sports, anybody that doesn't know, it is a website that has every single high school football game played in San Diego's history on it. There's no box scores, but it has everybody's season. You can go down, like Chris, you can pull up your seat whenever you're yours were at Crawford, you can go on there and they'll have all the scores from all your games on there. And it's all storied in history, and they got the history of all of it and the coaches. And it's kind of cool to kind of go through that.
I don't know if I want
to
go back and look through some of ours. I remember for a number of years, we had the worst loss in San Diego County. It was 88-0.
Oh, God.
So I don't know if I want to go back and relive any of those days at Crawford.
Yeah, but it's kind of cool to reminisce on some of the teams. You go through. I'm like, oh, yeah, at RBV. Hey, did you know RBV in 1993 was, you know, this good? Or you could look back at what Dave Roberts' year was when he played there, and it's kind of fun to put together. The other one, Point Loma beat La Jolla, but destroyed them. I mean, they won 49-0.
That was a shocker.
Wing T team now. Joe Allen decided to go with the wing T. What's going on
in La Jolla?
I don't know.
I mean, two years ago, COVID year, Point Loma didn't even have a team.
Right.
You know, so, and we're, what, a year and a half, 18 months later, and, you know, they're ranked number 14 in the county, and they're smashing La Jolla.
Right. I think Point Loma did it.
I just didn't see this coming.
Point Loma did a really good job in the last couple of years of, you know, redoing the schedule, because they had the Hastings schedule before, and that was like playing a bunch of D1 schools and what have you.
Their teeth kicked in.
Right. So they redid the schedule. They dropped down a couple of leagues. Yeah. you know, to play teams more of their caliber, get everything, you know, their feet underneath them.
It didn't take very long, though.
No, and then but then they also they go to a wing tee offense, which we've talked about this before. It's not sexy, but if you're a team like Point Loma, if you can run those six plays really well and block it well, it's hard to stop. And that's a good offense to run if you don't have the big guys or you don't have the super fast skilled guys. Now, I'm not saying Point Loma doesn't have that, but it's an equalizing offense to run. And if you run it right, and Joel Allen's running it right over there at Point Loma, you're going to beat a lot of teams and beat them down. Like, and for La Jolla, obviously, it's been a couple of years since they were on the rise with Big Helix in that shortened spring season. And then, you know, obviously they had to go to D1, and then they're kind of coming back down a little bit. But I would imagine they'll do pretty well in league. Other games, we'll just rip through them real quick. Santa Fe Christian beat Escondido Charter in kind of our small school game of the week. They beat them 20-14. Cathedral over Steel Canyon, 35-3. Modern Day beat down on Saints, 44-0. Got their first win of the year. Carlsbad, like we mentioned, beat Liberty 27-0. Real quick, anything really talk about on those games?
Congratulations to Modern Day on getting their first win of the season.
Got their first win. They're going to probably get their second win against Central, and then they should be able to roll through league.
Yeah, I don't understand that game. But
okay. They might go. They're going to go 6-4.
They'll win out from here on out? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they will win out.
Okay. They beat East Lake?
Oh, yeah. They'll beat East Lake. All right. East Lake's looking for their first win.
Yeah, they've had a lot of injuries.
They've had a lot of problems. Yeah, a lot of things.
Why do we say that every year with East Lake?
I don't know. I mean, they one of the better programs, and it's
you say one of the
San Diego High. I'll put it this way: San Diego High School football as a whole is better when East Lake is one of the top teams.
Yeah, I'll say this: the only person that could win it there got fired twice from there.
You got fired twice.
I don't know how you get fired twice from the same school
when you're the winningest coach in school program history. We're gonna take a quick break when we come back. Do our top 10. We also have guests today.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
I'm excited.
When we come
see
back
shirt?
As well.
See shirt?
I did see the shirt. Is that foreshadowing?
It's ooh.
Ooh.
Who we got on tonight?
I don't know. We'll find out when we come back.
He's a live one.
On the High School Football Podcast with Top Dog and Braden Surprenant. Still haven't figured out the cameras yet, so that's kind of a downside of this podcast. But it's all right. We're making it happen. We have a special guest coming up that is going to be joining us right after we talk about our top 10. So we'll tease it a little bit longer. But the little... kind of hint is TD's shirt right now.
Yep.
So we'll see. We'll see who walks through that door. How about that? Let's talk about the top 10. So the UT Riders poll after week 5, it is week 5, went with Madison number 1, 16 votes, same as last week. Carlsbad 2 with 5 first place votes. They jump up from 3 to 2. They pass Lincoln. Lincoln with 2 first place votes in third. Cathedral with 5 first-place votes in fourth. Helix in fifth with 2 first-place votes after beating Servite, then Poway, Granite Hills, Modern Day, La Costa Canyon, and Mira Mesa. That is the UT Riders poll, TD. What is your top 10 before I give you mine? Or do you want me to give you mine
first?
All right, cool. I still got Cathedral number 1. I got Lincoln number 2. I swapped them with Carlsbad and Madison. I got Carlsbad 3 at 4-1. I got Madison 4, excuse me, at 5-0. Helix 5 still at 5-1. Poway at 6, 5-0. Granite Hills 7, 4-2. Modern Day 8, 1-4. Mira Mesa 9, 4-1. La Costa Canyon 10, 3-2. Not really much of mine changed, except I bumped Lincoln up a couple spots, and I actually did end up moving Madison down for that close one against Granite Hills. But Cathedral, Lincoln, and Madison all have to play each other. We'll see what Carlsbad does in the Avocado League, and we'll see if Helix is hanging around. But there's a lot of good teams there in the top 10 and especially in the top 6.
All I got to say is Western League dominates. So let's start with my top 10. Lincoln's got to stay at 1. I mean, for me, they go out and they beat an out-of-town team, and so they stay at 1. Cathedral's at 2. Madison stays at 3. I mean, they handle business against the team. I think it's actually really, really underrated in San Diego. I got Carlsbad at 4, Helix at 5, Poway at 6, Granite Hills at 7, Mira Mesa at 8, Modern Day at 9, and 10 is La Costa Canyon.
This is like one of the first years that you and I have had like the same teams in the top 10 every week.
It's just a little bit flip-flop.
It's just a weird year. I mean, it's hard to fill out the rest of the tops. After the top 6, maybe 7 now in Granite, it's just kind of hard to fill out the rest. I mean, you got...
So what teams do you think are solid? I mean, let's just be honest.
Top six.
The top six?
What are I think the six? Top
in
six...
In any random order, it doesn't matter the order, but give me your top six, period.
Again?
Just overall, yeah.
Okay.
Not in any random order. Just to see how many of these I have.
I think, you know, Cathedral, until somebody beats them in town, is going to be in the top six. I also think they're a solid team despite, you know, what their record says and based on who they've played. Lincoln, I think, is a solid football team in town, too. I really do. I think with having a player like Roderick Robinson, it just puts you at the top of the pecking order because of all the things that he can do. Madison, I think,
Can I address Lincoln for just a second?
All right.
So Kmart calls me, the running back coach over there at Lincoln this week. By the way, I need to put a correction statistic out. I think we were saying that San Diego teams hadn't beaten out-of-town teams. I want to be clear. Lincoln did beat two out-of-town teams before.
I did know about those. Yeah, I said our teams hadn't beaten anybody that was really impressive.
Yeah.
And it came across as we didn't beat anybody because Mission Hills beat some teams out-of-town too. You know, I think the two most impressive wins for our teams out-of-town right now.
Anybody name recognition.
Right. It wasn't like premier. It wasn't we could puff our chest out where San Diego – because Steel beat Heritage, right? And Lincoln did a good job playing out of town, playing Capital. I mean, they had to fly to Capital Christian in Sacramento. They had to go to Baker. Are you kidding me? They had to go to Bakersfield last week. That is a terrible drive.
Yeah.
So they had to do that. They had to play Alamany on the road. And, you know, if they would have beat Alamany, I would have given them a lot of credit for that. But, you know, because Alamany is one of those, again, storied programs, even though they're kind of down this year. And then they played St. Bonaventure at home. It's a shame. I mean, they have to do that.
Yeah.
Because nobody in town wants to play them. Yeah. Cathedral has to do that. I think all these teams about to name have to do that because nobody wants to play them.
But the one thing that Kmart and I talked about, the difference between this year and last year, you know, last year's team probably had more talent. But Lincoln? this year's team plays together. This year's team, you know, watching the games, watching these guys, they're selfless. You know, there's not one guy on there that is playing for himself. And so the magic I see in Lincoln football program this year, I haven't seen in quite a few years. And I think that leadership comes directly from the hard work that Roger Robinson puts in and the leadership of some of the seniors on that team that say, hey, you know what? We're going to play for each other. And you can, watching those games, you see a difference in this year's Lincoln team. They're more disciplined. They're more focused on the overall goal. And they're not out there, you know, beating their chest and rally crying like in the past. Oh, these guys are really, really focused. And so, you know, Kmart and I talked about that, and that's just one of the differences. I think they had, like I said, I think they have more talent last year, but I think this team is better just because they're playing for each other.
Well, I think Roderick leads the way. We interviewed him last year. He's a great young man.
Great kid.
He takes care of business on and off the field, his leadership kind of style, the presence he brings.
UCLA, man.
The presence he brings in the conversation. You don't just go to UCLA just doesn't offer you.
Right.
You know, despite whatever their program is as a whole right now, I mean,
it's still UCLA.
They like you.
Jackie Robinson.
They like the athlete that represents UCLA.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's a brand thing.
It is. I mean, like I said, Jackie Robinson.
Right. But like UCLA has to, they have to offer certain kids because they have to be able to get it done academically, which Roger Robinson can do. They have to be able to represent the university. I mean, it's not like, I don't want to just dog some other schools. It's not like some of these other schools that can just throw out offers and just, you know, you have to be legit to play in the Pac-12, the Power 5. You have to be legit to play at an academic school like that. And he's definitely deserved him and Trey Edwards. It's going to be great representing San Diego. Think about all the UCLA products we've had that are San Diego kids.
Another kid on the team that doesn't get a lot of love is one of the best corners in San Diego, and that's Chris White.
Chris White, yeah.
I mean, dude, here's another kid. This kid's going to Yale. Now, Yale's not a football program per se, but, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick played at Yale. No, he played at Harvard. Take that back.
It doesn't matter. It's an Ivy League.
All I'm saying is
he's setting himself up for life going to Ivy League.
Kid's going to Yale.
Yeah, it's great.
In my wildest dreams, as smart as I could ever think I would be, I'd never get into Yale. I mean, it's so rare and so special for a kid to go to a Yale and get a football, you know, to go to be accepted, get a scholarship, go and play at Yale. That's unbelievable.
Well, think about this. We're talking about like just the talent level in San Diego compared to everything else. We might not be sending kids to the biggest Power Fives right now, But we are sending kids to Ivy League schools, and we're sending them to great academic institutions where they can continue their football career. They get money off so they can afford these schools, right. And they're setting themselves up for life. Absolutely. I mean, think about some of the Jackson Moyes at Stanford. Yeah. Right?
And by the way, did you watch him play this last weekend?
He's playing a lot.
That, I couldn't believe it. I mean, he's playing against, you know, Washington State.
Right.
I mean, Washington.
By the way, he was getting double teamed against USC.
Game, I wanted to see Austin Turner, too, so it's all good.
But anyway, it's great. So to go back to
the Did you see six. I was looking for number 17 on the sidelines up there at Stanford?
No, I didn't see him.
You know who that kid is?
Yeah.
Who's that?
I'm not going to say it.
You can say it.
No.
Why not?
I'm not going to say it.
Why not?
Is that who you're looking for?
Yeah.
You didn't see him out there?
I didn't see him.
I think it's great that he's there, but to go back.
On a clipboard?
To go. He's like clipboard Jesus, like Charlie Whitehurst. Let's get to I had Cathedral and Lincoln. I think are solid teams. I think Carlsbad's a solid team too. Yep. I don't think they're as good as last year.
Carlsbad?
I do not. I think not. Last year's team. I'm gonna tell you right now.
Hold on though.
No, hold on, addition, Chris. Last year's Carlsbad team this season, nobody would touch.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I'm gonna say it right now. I don't know. Last year's Carlsbad team, this season would be the team to
beat. What's the difference? The running game.
Their running game, they're bigger. They were bigger last year. They had a lot more weapons.
I'm going to hold my reservations yet to see what that tight end transfer from Santa Fe Christian does before I'm going to say they're not as good.
I think they were better last year than they are this year. But I still think they're solid.
Any given Friday night?
They're solid because Thad does a great job up there at Carlsbad. We got to wrap this up pretty quickly. Madison, I think, is a solid team. Helix is a solid team. And I think Poway, with what they got right now, is also a solid team. I think those are all your top six.
I'm not sold on Poway yet. We'll see.
They're my six, though.
They're not my six.
You had them at six.
I think I had them at seven.
I think you had them at six. No. They're better than... I think they already proven they're better than Granite. They beat them. I think they probably beat Modern Day, this state of Modern Day. And I think they beat Mira Mesa. I think they beat LCC.
I don't think they beat Mira Mesa.
I think they do. I watched Mira Mesa play in person.
Okay.
I think their running back's really good, but I think Connor Rath would be a problem for their defense. I do.
I agree.
That's a game like we talked about 3 weeks ago when we talked about schedules.
Yeah.
That's a game they should play.
That is a game.
Poway and Mira Mesa should play each other all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
So we talked about the top 10. Our guest is here. I think so.
Is that Peaked who he's his speaking head to?
In. Yes. He gave him a look like, who are you? What are you doing here? We're going to bring back our guest when we come back on the High School Football Podcast with Top Dog and Braden Sprennan. Well, we ended up tracking down our guest. He was here for like a half a second, and then you gave him a bad look, and then he dipped, and we're like, where did he go?
Right? But he's in a parking lot, and he's driving off.
He's driving off. No, it's all right. I already left, and then we got him back. But Charles James is joining us here on the High School Football Podcast.
Yeah, the James game.
So we kind of promoted it with he had the shirt on to kind of tease that you were coming on.
It's an honor of my PBR.
He's got, is that your state championship ring?
No, this is the Hall of Fame ring.
Everybody look at that.
Got one of those ones. You
oh,
know.
That's sweet. Repping that. So let's, obviously we talked about, or we didn't talk about, but, you know, a lot of people know you from, you know, your days at the head coach at San Diego High.
Mm-hmm. UC too.
At UC as well. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, now, you went from the coaching, you took the coaching headset off, and you got the broadcasting, journalist headset on. Talk to us about, you know, for anybody that hasn't checked out your new segment yet on the PPR, what exactly is it about, how it came about, and some things that you enjoy doing this new line of work?
Yeah, well, we have this new segment with PPR, and it's about bringing, basically, Paul Rudy wanted to, sink his teeth into these young kids like early and get a story on them before they get there. So when you look at it, for the most part, if you go through the whole rankings or whatever, far as like high school, when you get to that level, your freshman year, your sophomore year, basically you should be in JV and freshman.
Right.
So PBR really has 2 years to even get a story with you. And 1 year is building up all the hoopla around you. So, just think if we had film on Chris Olave when he was 9 years old and we had that all the way up to high school and then so on and all the way to the NFL. So that's the main thing that, Paul wanted to do is say, hey, let me meet these kids before, because once they get, Chris knows, he's been there. Big time you. You know. Yeah, man. You get these seniors. They get their girlfriends. They drive in cars now. And they're like, ah, I can't do this interview. You know, so I think it's a great thing right now because you're meeting so many kids that are talented. The football IQ of these kids is crazy. It's not like when we came up where, you know, we play eight games and we move on. They're playing year round and travel, you know, it's now. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the youth, the youth football in San Diego.
Can I ask my first first question is going to put him on the spot.
Okay.
So everybody knows that Reed Dudley mm-hmm. ran the Youth Sports Center. Mm-hmm. So when you came out with the James Gang, I want to know how pissed off was Reed Dudley that he didn't get to do this deal and you did it instead.
He wasn't pissed at all because he's a part of the team with me and you know, I reached out to a lot of youth coaches and a lot of youth influencers, and he definitely was one of those guys that, you know, joined the team and helped me reach out to some of these young guys that we don't really know about. And they can't wait to get top dog to.
No, for those of you that don't know, Reed Dudley is a storied mm-hmm. and legend in youth football. Mm-hmm. He's been here longer than I've been around. Mm-hmm. And Reed does a lot of stuff he does for free, mm-hmm. Promoting kids. He calls himself the Youth Sports Center.
That's awesome.
So, on all the social media channels. And Reed does an excellent job.
Very good job.
Promoting mm-hmm. these kids. I mean, you know, he's been trying to get on with PPR for years. And mm-hmm. so I'm excited to see that Charles is you know, promoting these kids before they get into high school.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I mean, the PPR is, they went from, when I was going through high school, I graduated in 13. I mean, it was just high school football.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then after I graduated when I was in college, then they started doing the all sports report. And then they started doing other high school games. And then they started throwing in the Little League World Series type kids. Yeah. And now they got Pop Warner highlights on Saturdays.
Dude, who else? Everybody commits on KUSA.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I mean, there's
nobody else.
They've just
gone
like full youth sports, which is great because it's like an avenue for a lot of kids that don't, you know,
that speaks to McKinnon Broadcasting.
Right.
You know, McKinnon mm-hmm. Broadcasting, the only independent station here in San Diego. Mm-hmm. You know, they really believe in giving back to the community and being part of the community.
For sure. Yeah.
Let's talk about, you know, just youth football in general and the youth football and Pop Warner just in San Diego. Based on what you've seen, like, do we have a lot of kids playing football? Are the numbers back up from your experience? And, you know, what's kind of, I know you sort of already mentioned it, but, you know, the level of play in San Diego, what's it like in 2022?
The numbers are up. The numbers are down in certain leagues.
Right.
But you have some leagues like Pop Warner, because everybody looks at the youth because the youth was unlimited and things like that. But you have youth, USA, Pop Warner. So you have three different leagues and their kids all over. So when we go and look at Pop Warner, they have, you know, Coach Kears coaching. And he was like, we have a full schedule and it's 24 teams in our division. And, you know, and then you go to the youth and it's a little bit more watered down far as the numbers in each league. But they have powerhouse teams because they're more geared to winning national championships and traveling. So you kind of have the two of the different. Pop Warner is a little bit more of a, it's kind of old school a little bit. Not to say that's in a bad way. It's just, you know, they're more of kids that's going from sport to sport.
Right.
Like
it's that season. It's like, all right, well, I do travel baseball in the spring and then come and it's a lot of kids like playing football for the first time.
Right.
Instead of kids that might take it as playing football year round.
That's what,
kind of deal.
You know, the IE, you know, has the IE Ducks.
Right.
And they got in a lot of trouble a couple of years ago for having an older kid play younger league. Do we have those type of issues here in San Diego or?
No. Well, you know, one thing that I can say, the politics in high school, they're more controlled base, I guess. Cause you got Scott Juicy, you got Joe Hines, you got those guys that are like, listen, you get out of line. You lose your job. With youth sports, I mean, it's the wild, wild west sometimes when they get into these arguments and stuff about things. And it's like, I'll get there and they're like, hey, this is the team you need to see. I'm like, hey, we're just here.
So the famous Marshawn Lynch, I'm here so I don't get fined.
That's right, man.
So,
we're
but
doing our job, all right.
It's a fun thing because I have love for everybody. I have no enemies. I don't even have enemies in high school no more. Like, it's so many people in high school.
Are we sure about that?
We're dead serious. It's so many people in high school that when I was coaching against them, that, you know, it's shots here, thrown here. I've never thrown a shot at anybody publicly. But now it's like, Coach James, we respect you so much. Because the competition level is there.
Right.
You know, and myself excluded.
When you're in the same league and stuff like that. You
see each other all the time. It's cool. I'm not even going to throw myself out. Like, I was competitive as well. And I get to sit back and watch all these coaches and just be a fan of football and coaches now. So,
well, speaking of that, I mean, Braden and I off air were talking about, you know, his dad coaches and says, "Oh, I'm gonna take a year off." And
he's been coaching for almost 40 years now. He's still coaching now at Cathedral. Once I got to Cathedral, he started coaching there after a long time at Grossmont, Santana, Kearney. Like, he's been all over the place. And once me, my brother, my sister all went through Cathedral, he's still there. Because they won't let him leave. Mm-hmm. But he's like 50, he's in his mid-50s now. He wants to travel, visit my brother in college, visit my sister who's working in Nashville. He's like, I need to take a year off. But every time he takes a year off, he's like 2 or 3 weeks into the off season, and he's itching to get back out there. So we were talking before you showed up. I was like, I got to ask Charles, you know, do you still have that itch when you're out there to come back and coach at any, not necessarily be a head coach, but just go out there and coach high school again?
It hasn't hit me yet. I've been at, you know, I've been to Cathedral again. Like, those are things I couldn't do when I was coaching.
Right. You can't go see anybody else.
You couldn't see anybody else. Right. So I actually went I went to Cathedral Modern Day's game, and I sat on Cathedral side. And at first I'm like, I wonder if they, and it was all love, but, you know, I've been to, I'm going to the Lincoln game this week. And, I went to a couple of games this here, Westview games. And I need to go see one of my old teammates, Poway. I need to go check Poway out and see them bring him to the woodshed there. I need to see that. But no, I'm actually enjoying it. I haven't had that itch. Now, I have had that itch watching a game, like, I would have called this or I would have did that. But I haven't, as far as the 707s and getting guys you know,
ready for college,
not
strength and conditioning during the off season and making sure everybody's doing everything they're supposed to, and you see all that stuff. Like, that's all the stuff, like my dad says, I don't want to do any of that stuff. So, you know, Cathedral cut him a cool deal. It's like, all right, well, you got to come back. You don't have to go to any of that stuff you don't want to go to. Just show up on and do the fun stuff. So, you know, I would imagine on Friday nights when you go out to those fields, I'm sure you get a little bit of that buzz and being like, man, I wish I was going toe to toe with some of these guys there.
You know what? I'll tell you this, Coach Doyle, watching Cathedral against Modern Day, because I run Wing T, and I can be wrong, but to me, I think this is going to be probably, and it might not show in a reflection of the records, but it will be, to me, his best coaching this year, because he doesn't have all the pieces that, you know, he has. And so when I went to the Modern Day game, Modern Day clearly was outsizing Cathedral. Clearly, I'm like, wow, I've never seen Cathedral this small. And I actually seen him call plays, and at certain times I will call the same play because we run the same offense. I'm like, all right, he's going to hit him with lead gut now. Now he's going to come in, and it was going. So I became a fan as well, as like, I'm in the booth with him or something. You know, that was fun. So I think those type of games like that, that kind of drives me back to saying, man, nah, you know, I missed that. But everybody doesn't run Wing T, so I don't get that excited. You know?
Speaking of that, before we cut a break here, we actually had a question. When we come back from break,
we're going to dive into, I know you got a question, but I do want to talk from his perspective now of being able to watch everybody and like kind of experience everybody and get his high school takes as we talk with Charles James when we come back on the High School Football Podcast. I don't want to complain about the camera too much, so we'll just keep rolling here as we just have these natural breaks. We're still with Charles James.
You know, we need to get some sponsors to fill up those breaks. You know that?
Well, we do. And Odyssey has that. That's covered.
Let's do it.
We're not getting any of the money, though, so I don't know. I don't know. Somebody's
what kind of deal
paid.
Are you working for us, man?
I don't know, man. But, like, if you – I think the people
– I mean, at least I get gas money, right?
I don't know. YouTube, so like if you watch it on YouTube, you don't have any breaks. But if you listen to the podcast and just do the audio, at those breaks, there's like, be sure to tune into this podcast, Boomer Esiason. All right, cool. Whatever. So
here's my question. You know, 18 months ago, Point Loma had no football season, right? I think they played two games and said, we're shutting it down. Our guys can't be competitive. Joel Allen rebuilds the program.
I think I know what you're going with this.
Institutes the wing tee. And you look at last Friday night, he played La Jolla, who was in the championship just a couple years ago against Scripps, and he beats that team 49-0. So my question is, as much as everybody in the county and football fans absolutely hate the wing tee, is it the best offense for high school football?
I think that depends, right? I think that really depends.
Let the coach answer.
Well, I'm going to put
you're a little biased, though. You're a little biased.
We're
you're
both biased.
Guy.
Both wing tee guys. But, you know, if – I'm a defensive coach, so from a standpoint of if I was running my own team offensively, I wouldn't be running a wing tee. But it depends.
Okay,
I think Doyle it depends. I think it depends on your personnel.
Yeah.
And I think Ron Gladick said it when he was at Torrey, and Sean Doyle says it. I'm sure Charles say the same thing. It's a great equalizing offense based on, you know, if you don't have gigantic linemen or if you don't have maybe all the personnel, you can kind of stay in games running a wing tee. And if you look back at all the games Cathedral has played against big-time opponents that are bigger, faster, stronger than them, the Narbones of the world, the Folsoms of the world,
the Gauchos.
I mean, Orange Lutheran. I mean, some of the teams that they played in the Honor Bowl, Sarah Gardena, what keeps them in the game is they run the wing tee for about two or three quarters, even when they beat Centennial a couple years ago. And the other team's freaking out trying to figure out how to stop it. And at halftime, they finally figure it out. And by that time, when they start coming back, they're one possession too late, and Cathedral leaves with a victory. And it's always the attitude of, we know how to stop this. This is easy. They come in, they get punched in the mouth, they're freaking out. They finally figure it out, and they're a possession behind. So that, I don't know if it's for all of high school, but for me, it's certain personnel, and I'll let
so
Charles
you just
answer.
You just let the secret sauce out of the bag of why Doyle has been so successful.
I've said that on our podcast for the last
not that deep.
It happens all the time,
not
especially
that deep,
with out of town teams.
Yeah, all right.
They roll in there and you're like, this is the Cathedral team we're supposed to play, the San Diego team. And they brush them aside, and then it's like, oh, maybe we don't know how to stop this. So, for you, Charles, high school offense is great, or do you think it has to fit the personnel?
Personnel, most definitely. I play wide receiver, so I love throwing the ball. Now, if I was playing for Coach Jason right now, as a player, I would love it. We're throwing the ball,
right?
Well, Robinson wasn't on the team, but you know, we're throwing
there
the ball,
is that.
Right? But as a coach, it unless you are bringing in a certain type of kid every year, which means the transfer portal. if you're bringing in a type of kid,
transfer portal,
you know, you're bringing in that certain type of kid for that system every year, it's kind of hard to run certain offenses. The wing tee offense is built for anything.
Right.
And the thing that where it works well, Coach Trace McNair actually taught me the wing tee.
Now, they do a great job running their kind of version of that too.
Well, he's getting away
he's
from it. He's throwing
the ball
now.
Yeah, he's chucking it.
Yeah. But if you look at the way I ran the wing tee, and I'll say this on record, my wing tee is Tracy McNair, Doyle, Hamamoto, all in one.
Who taught Doyle the wing tee? Hamamoto is
he's on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
At Cathedral.
Yeah.
He is the guy. He shows up and people just he's in the Don's Hall of
Fame.
He taught all of those coaches.
I've heard
that go
him talk about Hamamoto.
Hamamoto is my favorite coach.
He's great.
He's my favorite coach. As far as when you play against him, you really got to prepare. Now, if you just have a dominant team, it's different. But when you're going against him, he doesn't scout you like regular. He scouts you old school. He comes with a pad and a pencil, and it's first down. He's doing this on first down, second down, third. So he's breaking you down so much that you really have to say, you know. So when I look at these young coaches and they just got the athletes and they're just going out there, it's like, nah. If you Hamamoto, you give him stack teams, he's going to kill you. If you give him a mediocre team, he probably will still beat you. The only way he really loses is if he just doesn't have the weapons.
Which is kind of like right now, he's just struggling over there.
He just doesn't have the weapons.
But he took Lincoln to a CIF championship. Yeah. He took Uni / Cathedral to CIF championship. He took Rancho Bernardo to CIF championship. Everywhere he's gone, he took Monta Vista to CIF championship. Yep. He had McClendon. Yeah, yeah, and then all of a sudden,
You know who he played in that game?
What?
You know, you remember who he played in that game? The 8-touchdown game for McClendon?
I do remember that. Yeah.
He's one of the coaches that don't really get
it. Daniel just catches that ball.
All right.
If you talk about Hamamoto, and I always say, and people always challenge me on it, Hamamoto was there when Coach Shaq was coaching.
Right. Hamamoto, if you think about his coaching tree, too, it's like Sean Doyle, and it's, you know, John Montali, who played for him. Mm-hmm. A lot of Matt White.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
From Marion Catholic, when he had PT Gates, they were just destroying people. Yeah. I mean, that's another head coach through the staff of guys that Hamamoto coached.
No, Hamamoto even coached a kid named Walter Wells and William Wells in golf.
I didn't know that.
I didn't even know the guy knew golf.
He's legit.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's fun to talk, Wing T. Again, I wouldn't necessarily run it myself, but again, I think a lot of teams in San Diego should run it more. And I think Point Loma is a great example of why you would be able to run that.
Well, Joe, he ran the Wing T at Bishop.
Right.
He ran variations of it, and he had different packages, but he did run Wing T, so he does know the Wing T and what it's capable of doing. And especially you rebuilding a program, it's an easy way if you have smaller linemen to do things. What people don't understand, and I'm giving some of my secrets away right now. It's like,
you're not coaching anymore. It's fine. You're all right.
What I don't understand
on our podcast.
That's right.
I did a I went to a coaching clinic, and you had some of the. It was called the Living Legend. You remember that clinic?
Legends. Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was Ed Burke or somebody said that. He said,
old school.
That's
old school. Torrey Pines went to right there.
And they said,
not going to grab face masks.
Why, if you have low numbers, which is almost every school
right now. Yeah, but absolutely.
If you have low numbers, why would you run spread when they're running bombs and running the whole time, right?
Right.
And then those same players have to play defense against the spread. So what the Wing T does is it wears teams down. Now, if my linemen are used to just drop kicking the whole time, which we beat Linfield Christian, we beat the Tubbs, and we.
That was really, by the way, that Linfield Christian game where he coached in. If you ever go back and look on YouTube and you see me in my stripe, Where's Waldo hat? That might have been the greatest football game I've ever seen.
And we took Lincoln to overtime, and Don Chapman said, I didn't know where the ball was, and you guys had us tired. Because when you run a spread, you're not built to being worn down. No. Linfield Christian, they were on what I noticed, and I watch games, Linfield Christian starting line, starting running back, starting quarterback was on the bench every game by second half. They never play four quarters, ever.
Right.
So our job is to keep them in the game and wear them down.
Well, I just think from a defensive standpoint, we don't have to prepare for a Wing T unless we play Torrey.
Right.
And that's basically it at D1. Mm-hmm. But the benefit is we get to see it every day.
Mm-hmm.
So our kids are used to it. But at the same time, when we break down our opponents and I go through the list, if I see they're running like doubles,
mm-hmm.
they're running trips, and they're running any type of form of that, it saves me hours of prep time. Because it's usually like, all right, they're going to run jet, they're going to run counter tray, they might run dive, and if they pull the guard, they might run dive.
That's it.
And then that's it. And then everything else is just kind of combo rounds.
Yeah.
And as I teach the secondary, like I'll go through, I've done it at least three or four times this year. We do install day on Monday. And I go, okay, guys, they're going to run doubles gun. Yeah. They're going to run some type of flood pattern that way. They're going to run all goes, all hitches, or like all slants.
Yeah.
Nothing we haven't seen before. Let's move on to the next thing. It's just so it's so quick. But you play Torrey, and it's like, all right, guy blocks down. You have to fill. If he releases, you got to cover the zone. You got to worry about this stuff. If that guard pulls, you got to go with. I mean, it's just so much more stuff for a high school kid
to
try to see it.
And
if you're good at it, you have no idea where the ball is.
And the funny thing is you hear from other coaches that the Wing T is a Pop Warner offense.
Right.
When you have the spread, it's only four plays that you can really run.
Right.
And if I have a secondary, you're pretty much done.
Right.
So the spread offense is zone read. You got an inside zone, outside zone. You got
combos. I love when teams run zone. It's just like, it's just tagging plays, zone.
That's
zone,
it.
Zone. Nobody pulls, combos, just same stuff.
Combos, you can go. And then the funny thing is when you take four guys, you put them over here or you put them over there, and everybody's like, oh, my God, it's so sophisticated. No, it's not.
Quad, just because there's four guys over there.
Wing T is very hard to stop. I'll tell you this on the last thing, because I go all day on Wing T. Okay, how many, like when teams say, okay, we're running up the score, we're going to do this, I can have the weakest team ever. You'll never put that many points up on me, ever. Oh.
Control the clock.
Ball control the clock.
3 yards in a cloud of dust.
We're playing. You control the clock, not checkers.
So when you have two spread teams, you can get 60, 70 points put up on you because you're going three and out. You know, but how many seconds is in each play?
It's usually like six.
No, 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 no.
8 to 10.
From the mark of the ball.
To the one that lands. To mm-hmm. Yeah, probably like. I see all the time when I see the clips we get back. It's like anywhere is like, yeah, 8 to as much as like 15.
So from the whistle blown to the next whistle, how many seconds?
25 seconds.
What?
20 seconds?
50, it's 45, 40, bro.
45 yeah, seconds? 45. Are you talking about the play clock?
The play clock.
Oh, yeah, clock.
So
yeah.
Now, technically, you could almost waste a whole minute each play. Right. That's how I beat a lot of teams because we're going to drain a clock. What are you talking about? I'm getting my guys win back, and I'm going to drain the clock.
Plus, in high school, if you take a delay game, the clock resets. Nobody ever does that.
On that note.
That's amazing to me that nobody ever does that. Take a quick break. I do want to talk more with Charles.
I do, too.
We're going to take a quick break. There's a couple of things. I want to go into the war stories that Charles has been a part of in terms of high school football coaching, some games that he's been in, you know, different things and game stories. And we'll talk. We'll take it from there.
Top 10. I want to hear what your top 10 San Diego football teams are.
Top 10?
Yep. Let's hear it. Starting at one and then go down.
Lincoln.
Who's number one team?
Lincoln.
Okay. Two?
Carlsbad.
Three?
I like Madison.
Okay. Four?
Granite Hills.
Five? Braden, you can't look upset right now, okay? Put your media hat on, not your football coach.
Oh, wait, hold on. Take that back. No, I will put Cathedral over Madison.
Okay, so they're at three, Madison's four.
And then
Granite's five.
Right, that's why I got to stop. I can't go too far down.
No Helix?
Can't go anymore? No Helix?
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. We got to give him a list.
No Modern Day.
This is the thing.
Modern Day?
Yeah. Well.
Oh, dude. Helix before Modern Day.
Modern Day, Helix, all those guys. Helix is definitely over Granite Hills. Yeah. Ooh. Helix definitely over Granite Hills.
Who do you think is going to win that game, Granite or Helix?
It's going to be a tough one because Granite Hills playing good ball right now.
Yeah.
And that line, you know, they got good backs. They got good wide receivers. They're all bought in. But when I look at a team, I look at the line. And Granite Hill line is massive. They believe in the system. So that's one thing I like about them. I think Granite Hills line easily.
And the last thing I want to ask you,
man,
being the recent inductee to the Hall of Fame for San Diego High School, mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on how the program is being run right now?
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
I told you I was going to put it up, man. I told him I was going to. Listen, I've got my thoughts, and after he's done, I'll share my thoughts. Okay.
So I'll say this. Internally, I don't know what's going on there
because
I haven't been there. But I've been to a couple of games, and coach is doing a pretty good job. They're winning games. I think they're three and three. They're at 500. Which is a goal of mine every year to go 500, and so he plays some team stuff. So on the outside looking in, record wise they're doing pretty good. I don't know internally, you know.
How often do you keep in touch with him? Do you still talk to him?
Yeah, occasionally I talk to him with you know, if I go to the game, I tell him good game and the things that I see.
They ever call you for advice?
Sometimes, yeah. not far as the play calling and stuff like that, but. Yeah. Definitely, you know, stuff that I see or something like that. Halftime, because what you don't understand, two of the brothers on that team were my actual teammates. So I actually, you know, played ball with two of the coaches that, you know. And so we talk on a different level, far as, you know, halftime, like, what do you see out there? Keep this going or keep this going, you know, small stuff like that. But they definitely do reach out.
Cool. So I'll give you my thoughts. This is a different program than when Charles was there. I think the culture is a little bit different. I don't know that they have the same focus on getting kids to college that Charles had when he was there. This is just my observation as a media person. I don't talk to anybody inside the program or do I have any interior knowledge whatsoever. It's just it's the visibility of it. And you don't see – I don't see the program promoting their athletes the way Charles did when he was there. And I'm just hoping that, you know, these kids get the same opportunities to go to college that they did when Charles was there. Year in, year out, when Charles was coaching there, I saw – every at least 5, 6, 7 guys every year getting to college. And I haven't seen it yet. Maybe that'll come. But, you know, that's my only concern. And that's a big difference I see. It's not just the football-wise, but the academics of it and getting kids really ready for college and making sure their SATs are done. So I think that a lot of stuff, people only focus on what happens on the field, but I'd like to see what happens off the field in the offseason, how many kids from this team actually go off to play college. I'd like to see that legacy that Charles built continue with San Diego.
We talked about that before, but the great job Charles did with not only winning on the field, but obviously off the field as well. I do want to talk a couple of things, just go down some memory lane with you as a coach. You know, just maybe some games that, you know, you remember the most that were the most memorable for you or most exciting games. It could be wins or losses and times that you thought, man, I just really had to coach my ass off in that game. You know, some fun moments of being a high school football coach.
I know the top two. We got some good battles. The trilogy of the Kearney.
Oh yeah,
that the Kearney series was very fun, week in and week out, and you know, something you know that the new coaches at Senegal High, they kept that tradition going. They won the other day, but. I remember my first year there, and it was a struggle. So it's going to take some time and you know, to get things going. But I love that series with me and Will. I don't think there ever will be numbers
out the yeah. for regular season football
numbers
game.
Like that. As far as that game.
That game was crazy.
Man, for like 4 years straight, yeah. Like sold out.
We were trying to do one of those games on the radio, but they didn't have – yeah. Press box.
I remember that.
Yeah,
we tried to.
I was there
to make that happen.
I was there. Yeah. But those games were so much fun.
Yeah, that. So that I remember that. That will always be great. Me and Will talk about that all the time. Like it'll never be again. I don't even think it will be ever again like that in the city. To be honest with you, I don't think it will be that much buzz. You know, all the media was in. Chris was in. It was PPR, so like it was so much in it. Chris had me and Will doing commercials. It was fun.
He was doing crazy stuff.
Yeah. So that, and then the two top games probably would be against Central. Coming back, I think it was like a minute and 30 coming back, and Jaden Wickware, you know, I said, hey, we had a great season, you know. And he was like, no, we're gonna win this game. And he goes in there. He gets a sack in the end zone for a safety. They kick it to him. He runs it back. Then he goes a wide receiver, and Thomas Marcus throws him the touchdown all in a minute and 30 game. And 30.
That's insane.
And we win the game.
And if you know Jaden, that's what makes it even more special.
That was crazy. Fast forward, and then you got the Linfield game. It was somewhat similar. And then they kick it to him again, and he runs it back. One of the slowest on the team. But he has – Jaden ran at least 8 or 9 touchdowns back. And Chris is there going crazy. Simmons wear Waddle hat.
He actually ran on that. You got to look on YouTube and find that video, man. It's hilarious.
But those were very amazing games. And even at that point, too, Linfield ranked number one in the state in total offense and ranked number two in the nation.
It was crazy. And you know who the offensive coordinator was in that year?
No.
Keely Smith.
Oh, really?
They had a whole NFL right. staff. Yeah. But what I think people sometimes, what we don't do, and I kind of got upset about that, was they kind of took away the props from our kids at that time. Our kids never came out the field. Raiden Hunter and those guys never came out the field. And they're being held down to a different standard because they have 2,000 girls in the school. Oh, you know, like – the girls outweigh the boys in the numbers. It's like 8-1. And then they say, okay, you have 3,000 kids, so you guys should have been in a higher division. Like, that's not the fact. But then you have Linfield Christian, who can handpick who they want. We're bigger, faster, stronger than this, hands down.
Yeah, that tight end was no joke. I remember that game. That
five guys went Pac-12.
Yeah, that tight end was no joke.
And then we come back and we win, and then they, oh, you guys got 3,000 kids. What is that? We only had 17 on the field. So
yeah, I mean, you do school size, and two-thirds of those are girls. Yeah. How does that add up? Yeah.
Well, I mean, the school size thing, it's just, I think we talked about it before.
So
if
I
you,
a question.
If you're going to, like, the private school versus the big school, if you're a private school and you're going against big, it's the same thing. It's basically the same thing in terms of the deal. I don't know why you complain. You made it that far. Why would you complain after you lost? It's right. it's just sour grapes.
Here's my question. You know, over the last couple of years, you've been very vocal about the ranking systems, about putting teams in different divisions or whatnot. You've talked about the transfer portal. You've talked a lot about the administration of high school football. So my question is, when are you going to run for CIF commissioner?
Never.
You didn't hear him before he started. He has no enemies right now.
No enemies.
To keep it that way.
I'm actually going to be joining CIF this year.
I think you'd be really good at CIF.
No. Joe is a mentor of mine. I look up to him so much. And not only that is, you know, I'm volunteering too. You know, people call my phone when they heard that I'm going to be just helping out. I'm pushing papers for CIF. Okay, I'm not. I can't change anything.
You hear that? He's pushing transfer paperwork.
That's right.
Oh no!
Wait, did I hear that right? Did I hear that right?
When one certain school all these kids all of a sudden.
How does San Diego get 15 transfers? Hold on.
Let me rephrase
that. How are they in D4 now?
That's Mr. Right. Hines, do you need coffee? I'm going to go get it. But no,
so he does have a. You hear he's going to be at the CIF offices.
Okay? Good. I just need to pass my paper to him to pass the paper to Joe Hines if I need any messages.
Here we go. Hold on. Can I get some money on this?
No.
Tell him this right here. That's right.
Listen.
I'm going to need this transfer put through.
Listen. I'm coaches. Only a volunteer, okay?
You got a Benjamin right
there? Can I get that transfer put through? This is how you make it happen, all right?
Man, you're going to have my phone.
He's going to be fired before I even
get there.
Jeez.
All I'm doing is, hey, where do we want the chain gang to go?
it's all good. No, I mean, if you know Charles and you know his history, going back to University City and what he's done in San Diego, on a more serious note, he's one of the people that lives, eat, breathes football. And his mm-hmm. character is impeccable. I've never known him to do anything immoral, illicit. I mean, his paperwork's always by the book. Even when, you know, we had a kid named Kyle Simpson that, mm-hmm. that played for him that transferred to, which is now Sierra Canyon. Mm-hmm. Charles made sure that his paperwork was done and done correctly and, you know, took it to the AD. So he's always been by the book. Sometimes that drives me mm-hmm. crazy because I'll call him and he'll quote 18 different pages of the rule book to me. And I'm like, I don't even care. That's just wrong. But, you know, so I'm really excited to see what he'll do with this time at CIF, even if it is just getting Joe coffee.
Yeah.
Getting Joe a cup of Joe. Well done. Good job, Charles.
I'm going to have to get him a t-shirt, man.
Always
I'm
one of my
Joe a cup of Joe.
Always one of my favorite interviews, too, with all the coaches I interview. Because it says it how it is.
Yeah.
It's great. How much time we got?
We probably got one more break, but we got to cut this one.
All right, we'll break. When we come back, we'll let the media man, Charles James, pick some games with us. We'll wrap through it, and we'll wrap it up on the High School Football
cool.
Podcast. All right, we're wrapping it up here with Charles James. A little bit longer of a podcast this week because we shortchanged it last week with only 30 minutes. But it was still good content. We talked about transfers.
It's not often you get a Hall of Fame ring.
That's right,
hey, man.
That Hall of Fame ring's blinding me the entire time. Just shining right in my eyes. No, I ordered one of my TCU Alamo Bowl ones.
No, I'm still trying to get my golden microphone trophy.
You supposed to have one of those?
No, I got a plaque.
Oh, man. You did get a plaque. You was the first one.
All right, let's pick some games because who knows how long that camera's going to last.
That's an inside joke.
game of the week, Lincoln Hornets at the Cathedral Catholic Dons. I don't have a spread on that one. 7 o'clock at Mira Mesa High School. I will not pick this game since I'm obviously a coach.
Who you got? Nah, you go first. Guess first.
Oh, Lincoln, what are we talking about?
Cathedral.
All right. What? You guys split it. we'll see you there, Charles. La Costa Canyon Mavericks favored by 10 at the El Camino Wildcats. North County Ooh. Game of the week.
You know what? I've went against Megatron. It's a little inside joke right there.
Yeah, because I'm confused as hell.
I forget his name now. What's the head coach at La Casa?
Oh, Sovacool?
Yeah, Sovacool.
Megatron? Sovacool. I was like, wait, what?
So
he just called Sean Sovacool Megatron?
It's Megatron. So we were doing the All-Star game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah. Is that the Spanos one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so I always call myself Optimus Prime.
So he's made
the leader of the free world, right?
Yeah, now I got it.
So I go up and we had to do the thing, and I go, you know, Optimus Prime out, and I drop the mic. Yeah. So he picks it up and he says, Megatron. Megatron.
Okay, now I get it.
So I'm gonna go with La Costa on this one.
You're going Megatron minus 10.
I'm taking La Costa.
I'll take La Costa as well. East County game of the week. We haven't really been able to mention this. I talked to you about it off air.
Yep.
So Ron Berner, senior.
Yeah.
The head coach of the El Cap Vaqueros is going for win number 100 on Friday.
Yep.
His son, Ron Berner Jr., is coaching defense for Santana, who he's going against on Friday. Ron Berner Jr. against for Santana prevented Troy Starr from getting win number 100 last week. So he goes back-to-back weeks playing a coach trying to get his 100th win, and now it's his dad. Who do you got? You got Pops or you got the son in El Cap versus Santana?
Pops
trying to get 100.
I got Pops.
I got El Cap.
Okay, so I'm going to say this, and I'm going to piss a whole bunch of people off.
Oh, God,
on this
here we go.
Okay, you ready? I'm going to go with the coach who actually knows how to coach, Ron Berner, senior.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, you're going to make some people mad.
You're going to piss a lot of people off with that. But you're going with Pops.
There ain't no love lost there. He knows.
Yeah.
City game of the week. Mira Mesa Marauders 4-1 at the Madison Warhawks 5-0. Madison's favored by 16 in that game.
Mm. Man, that's a good one. You know, I don't think they'll win by 16, but I think Madison will pull it off. One thing about Rick Jackson, man, Rick can coach, but in close games, I just seen him pull too many out that was close.
Right.
Like throughout his whole career, I've seen him pull out tight ones like that. So I think it's going to be a tight one, but I think he's going to come out on top. I didn't see it too many times.
So today, September 27th, is Rick Jackson's birthday.
Is it really?
So happy birthday, Coach Jackson.
Aurelio Morales. Later, right?
Say again? I know, that's okay. Right, but he'll see it. He'll know that I wish him a happy birthday on his birthday, so it's all good.
Are you going to try to lighten him up before you pick against him?
I know. Are you trying to steal my thunder here?
I'm just saying, go ahead.
Are you trying to steal? You need extra airtime?
Go ahead.
All right.
No, I've had plenty of airtime the last 5 days.
Aurelio Morales does a fantastic job with Mira Mesa, but I just think that the defense for Madison is too much. That they are young, they are bulls, and I don't know that, you know, they're going to be able to match up with Madison. Madison wins this
game. I got
game.
Madison as well. Other notable games, Mission Bay Bucks at University City. University City by 17.
I'm going to go University. And I got to go with you. You know, it's the home team.
You got to go. You can take your Bucks.
You know what I'm taking in that game?
Your Bucks?
Sam Cooper. So he's a difference
you're
maker
not taking
in that
your
game.
Bucks.
Sam Cooper is going to run for 200 and pass for 300.
San Diego Cavers at the La Jolla Vikings. Vikings favored by 15.
I got to go with the Cavers, man. I can't go against them.
Listen,
you thought he'd get some phone calls at the CIF conference you had. Right. He picks against the Cavers on the show.
La Jolla.
We're going to let him back on campus.
La Jolla got throttled by Point Loma last week.
They did get throttled.
I mean, 49 zip.
Two losses in a row. Lost to Morris,
They lost to Morris. They're going to right the ship.
Ride the ship.
They're going to right the ship.
I know.
And they're going to beat San Diego. I'm sorry. Sorry, coach.
Was it sail the ship? It's not their slogan.
Sail the ship.
I think we could pull it off.
Kearney Comets favored by 7 at the Claremont Chieftains.
Who?
Yeah. I'm going to go Kearney.
I'm going Kearney. Did you forget Claremont has a football team?
Ever since Ron Gladnick left, yeah.
It's been a long time since Claremont's been good. Does Lee Cole and the Del Norte Nighthawks upset Connor Rath and the Poway Titans?
No.
Absolutely not.
Not a chance. I'll take Poway.
Poway's favored by 35.
Lee, I love you.
I
love you, Lee, but Poway's too much.
The Battle of the Patriots. Patrick Henry Patriots at the Christian Patriots. Patrick Henry with the new New England Patriots logo. Christian with the old New England Patriots logo going out again.
Battle of the Pats.
I'm going to go with Christian.
I'm going to go with Patrick Henry.
I'm taking Henry.
I'm going to go with Christian. Ooh, I seen coach. Patrick Henry last night. Last week.
Yeah.
They beat Morris, though, didn't they?
Yeah. It'd be Morris. And Morris is a good football team.
Was you at the game?
He knows something.
It shouldn't have been a loss.
Really?
It shouldn't have been a loss. But, you know, but it wasn't the cause or nothing. It was just.
It shouldn't have been a loss.
A missed tackle here, a missed tackle there, you know. So.
All right. So you're going with Christian.
So you're not a big fan. What you're saying there is you're not a big fan of the Morris defensive coordinator, huh?
No, they did.
This is why we don't get guests. You scare them all away.
And you want to know something? What's that? The defensive coordinator was my ex-player. One, the best football player I've ever coached.
Imperial Tigers Tyler at the Calexico Bulldogs. Imperial's 4-1, Calexico's 5-0. Charles, I know you're going to be driving out there for the PPR to watch that game. No. So
wait, Imperial against who?
I think that's part Imperial of his contract that he doesn't have to leave the county.
I don't know anything about really those two teams.
I'll go with Imperial.
I'll take Imperial.
I'm taking Imperial.
Modern Day at Central. They're driving out there.
That's a no
Modern Day.
Modern Day. Absolutely. Yeah. RBV against Ramona. That's an interesting game because RBV is coming off a loss. Ramona already lost to Fallbrook. They're not the favorite in the Valley League anymore.
RBV, I think they were upset about that loss last week. So I think they'll battle back.
Ain't no way the coach on the hill going to let them lose to RBV. It's all of Ramona in that game.
It's at Ramona, too. Yep. You got to go up the
You're
mountain.
You're not losing. Coach is not letting
hard.
Them lose that
it's
game.
It's hard to play in there. Yeah.
Small town Americana
That's
up
it,
there.
Yeah. I got That's Ramona. Friday Night Lights up there, baby.
There's only like two or three high schools in San Diego that have that kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. And Ramona's one of them.
And I ain't going against him.
Carlsbad at Torrey.
Carlsbad.
I got Carlsbad.
See that.
Yeah. I think that's it. That's all I got.
That's it.
You want to pick the Oceanside Mission Hills game?
Is there a point to that?
No.
Oceanside is terrible, dude.
Mission They're Hills. Not good.
Oceanside. Bring Coach Carroll back. Can we start that hashtag?
I'm surprised that they
hashtag bring Coach Carroll back.
Do you think his son would leave San Marcos?
Yeah.
To go to Oceanside?
To go back to Oceanside? Absolutely.
I don't know. I wouldn't.
Absolutely.
Have you seen their facilities?
San Marcos? Their school is gorgeous.
Don't matter, man. Your dad was a legend.
But he can make his own.
The field is named after him.
He's got a very large school in an area that produces really good. Really at least good. They used to have really good Pop Warner teams, so I don't know if they still do.
If you
or
know
not,
the Carrolls, if you know
they got
the
a freshman over there.
They got a
crazy no, he's right a sophomore now.
Oh, he's a sophomore.
Nicks.
They got
yep.
Texas.
Jace Nix is
too.
A freak.
Yeah.
Give him like 2 years.
I call that kid Skates.
They gonna pass up Mission Hills in 2 years?
They might have already passed up Mission Hills.
They play each other at the Discovery Bowl last week of the year.
I like what they're doing over there because they're like contenders now.
Yeah.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
They get some big wins. Dude, I mean, they're still kind of fighting through the pain.
Never hire a coach from New Hampshire for the North County again. Can we all agree on that?
Oh, man.
That was a huge mistake.
Let's ask this, though.
What's that?
What if Coach Carroll joins his son?
He already is there. He works there. He's part of that staff. I'm sure Coach Carroll's on staff.
I thought he was coming next year.
No, I'm pretty sure he's already on staff.
Oh, okay.
If not, if they're breaking down film together, I mean, he's helping Lil Johnny. I mean,
so
I'm sure if he gave him a phone call, he'd probably answer.
So let's build a new legacy.
San Marcos Knights.
Yeah.
Let's get Terrell Burgess to donate some of that Super Bowl money to his high school alumni. What do you think?
Kyle Phillips just got a new contract,
right? Hey, he's both of those guys need to donate some money, right? You got Tennessee Titans, and you got you got LA Rams.
Poor Kyle Phillips, man. Two muff punts in the NFL is not it's tough, pretty, dude. Yeah. As a rookie, throwing a rookie out there as a punt returner is tough.
But he
that kid's dead. That's
he's
sauce,
tough, man.
And you see Tannehill he's when he tough. Drops back though, and he needs somebody to throw to.
Yeah,
he's going to him.
You see he's looking.
It's going to Phillips,
right?
Going to Kyle Phillips.
I like Phillips' game. I really like his game. You know, I'm a wide receiver, so I look at stuff like that. You know.
And, okay, and my last question.
Gotta go. With
you got one more question. We got to wrap it up. Got to pack all this stuff.
Let's go. Last question. Who is the best football player to ever come out of San Diego?
To ever come out of San Diego?
Ever.
You got multiple. We got four Heisman Trophy winners?
Yeah.
This is Heisman City, baby.
We have more than states.
Yeah.
The best player to ever come out of Your San opinion. Diego. On all levels.
Everything.
Are we talking best high school player or best, like, athlete? Like, what are we talking about here?
Best high school player.
So he had to be, like, a stud in high school.
Yeah.
You got to go with Marcus.
Yeah, I agree. I would actually say, wow, that's the first time I think we've ever agreed on
that. That's
the first.
You got
Marcus
go
Allen.
Yeah.
Marcus Allen over all the other Heisman
you
Pro
have
winners?
To.
Listen, I don't even think, listen, I'll be on the record here. Reggie Bush wasn't even the best running back on that team.
Well, there's a lot of times, like,
Alex Smith was on that team.
Like, let's talk about like Mission Bay when they had like Arian Foster. Just from experience of my dad coaching, he's like, we weren't even really worried about Arian Foster. They had receivers that were better than he was.
Yeah,
and so there's a lot of guys that like grow in college.
Yeah,
but I mean,
who's the Ricky Williams?
Ricky Williams, right?
Wasn't that good?
Nah, Ricky was good, bro.
No, I tackled Ricky Williams.
I played against Ricky. Ricky was good.
Not that good, bro. Conner Smith was better than him.
Ricky Williams won a Heisman at the University of Texas. You know, found him in San Diego, dude. That's pretty impressive.
Man, Big Gates, and you know Dave Gates was probably one of the best D linemen ever.
What about Lincoln Kennedy?
Lincoln Kennedy was a O lineman, but Big Dave said that.
Leroy Glover.
Then he was one of the best.
Jamal Agnew.
Another Point Loma kid. Yep. Eric Allen.
Eric Allen's up there. Eric Allen might be number two or three.
He'll produce a lot. San Diego's produced a lot.
Rashad Salaam. Overrated at La Jolla Country Day.
Everybody said that because he was at La Jolla Country Day. Wins the Heisman Trophy.
My top three will be Marcus, Reggie, and Ricky.
You got one more though. Make it Mount Rushmore. Fair. Yeah, one more to that.
Just add the other Heisman.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Just add the other Heisman. There you go.
No, because
I'm gonna throw a name out at you, Teddy Lawrence.
Ted Lawrence is good.
He was a freak athlete.
But when you say the best, you're talking about all of them. We're talking about Marcus was dominant in youth,
everything,
high school, Marcus is by college, far the best pros.
Pro.
He was by far the best.
He's the best pro he's ever to come out of San Diego in football
ever.
Yeah.
He's in a class of his own, bro.
So
he's better than TD was in the pros for sure. He's better than Ricky Williams all of them.
He's the top.
And just the way he handled his business,
the top.
Took care of things in the classroom, on the football field. Even when he had the troubles with Al Davis, he didn't speak on him. He kept everything in-house. And then, hey, you know, I'm going to go over here to KC.
They brought in Bo Jackson, he had to do with him.
Right? I mean, dude, Marcus Allen was just Marcus
And then he went to a whole nother team and still
balls. Good. Really?
You were on it. That was Marcus great.
Marcus Allen.
I didn't have to bleep it out in post. You bleeped it yourself. That was great. We got to wrap it up. Right, Charles, really appreciate the time. Hey, that was great. We could talk to you for hours. We don't have that much time on the podcast, obviously. And the more I talk to you, the more I got to edit when I go home. So we got to wrap this up. TD, as always, I'm Braden Soprano. Thanks again for tuning in to the High School Football Podcast.